Let us continue to offer our prayers to God. God of all people and places, of all times and stories, we open our hearts to your world and all its people, bringing our hopes and our fears, and ready to be transformed in our thoughts and our actions. God of love, for all those divided from others by political, social, or historical barriers, we pray. For all those whose lives are deemed worth less because of their gender or caste or race, for any whose voice is not heard because of their poverty or lifestyle or history, for all those whose hopes are rejected because of their sexuality or disability or identity, we pray for new understanding that would help us all to reach out to those we do not know, that all would know the fullness of life. God of wisdom, for your church in all its diversity, we pray, that we might be one body, recognizing the gifts of all our members, that we might find unity in the shared questions of interpretation, that we might forgive and be forgiven. As we learn and grow together, we pray for one church under the authority of our one head, you, our Lord and friend. O God of compassion, for all who need to know your care, we pray. Where the events and struggles of life pose difficult questions, where the flood and fire and loss of life and health or job bring pain, where abuse or addiction leave people feeling powerless, we pray that we would all know your presence and your healing and liberating touch. O God of all, we open our hearts to your world and all its people in silence, bringing our particular concerns and dreams, and are ready to be transformed in our thoughts and actions. Oh God, hear our prayers, all of our prayers, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior and friend. Amen. Our New Testament lesson this morning is taken from Dr. Luke's account of the early church. We're hearing from Acts 2. Verses 1 to 21, the story of our birthday, Pentecost. Hear the word of God. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. And amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? But others sneered and said, well, they're all filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Yes, today is Pentecost, the Greek name denoting the old Jewish festival, the Feast of Weeks, or First Fruits. And it was so named because it fell on the 50th day after the ceremony of the barley sheaf during Passover observances. It was also 50 days after Jesus' crucifixion, and 10 days after his ascension. Now, unlike the festivals of previous years preceding the day recorded in our scripture lesson, this one turned out to be much more than just an annual event. This one became a sensational experience. On this day, the disciples of Jesus became conscious of a new inward power, enabling them to become witness bearers and participants in God's world transformation plan. The mission and ministry of transformation is something we continue to be called to today. It was something that we affirmed in the last couple of weeks in our discernment circles. At the first Pentecost, the disciples experienced the fulfillment of Jesus' promise that when he left, he would send the gift of the Spirit, the presence of God manifested in a new and intimate and powerful way. And in obedience to the directive Jesus gave prior to his ascension, his followers got themselves ready for what Jesus had promised them. So they gathered together in Jerusalem, and they gathered in prayer. And when all the earthly elements were in place, it came time for them to undergo a divine disturbance. And this came from the divine disturbance came from the divine comforter, the advocate, the helper, who on this occasion was being experienced as, as the disturber, the shaker, the mover and maker. And the Holy Spirit, God's presence, was evidenced in their being blown away and having their outsides and their insides ignited This was indeed a full-on elemental fusion of spirit and flesh. So for the early followers of Jesus and all who have followed since, Pentecost is being reinterpreted and come to be known as the birthday of the church. A day when the house in which the disciples of Jesus waited became the biggest birthday balloon as it was overcome and filled with a mighty wind. A time when the disciples became their own birthday candles, right? Their heads are lit by tongues of fire, more amazing than any Victoria Day fireworks display. Friends, throughout the scriptures, we find wind and fire, often representing God's moving and shaking presence. Divine disturbances are manifest by wind, a power that directs and fills. And they are manifested by fire, a power that consumes and purifies and spreads. So, what were the repercussions of this new divine encounter, this elemental fusion? Well, God was announced in a very tangible way that there was a whole lot more in store for the people of God. Firstly, God declares his desire that the good news of his love and forgiveness be the good news and the experience of the whole world, for Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female, young and old. Now the wondrous things of God could be understood by all and available to all. And secondly, the Spirit ushered in a new boldness and fearlessness, enabling the disciples to witness to God's wide embracing love, despite the dangers they would face in upsetting the status quo. And thirdly, the Spirit empowered and equipped Jesus' followers to impact the world, to be instruments of transformation in a culture needing desperately to see, to know, and experience God's kingdom values. For as these values were lived out in that infant church, we find those who considered themselves to be on the outside coming to know that they really belonged. They were beloved by God. And they were people of immeasurable worth. Folks were finding life-giving meaning and purpose in their being, for they had come to know intimately the one who made them and loved them and desired for them to live life fully and joyfully. So how relevant is Pentecost today? Well, I guess that depends on whether Pentecost is for you simply an event in the past or part of your experience today. Friends, we are sometimes guilty of confining becoming a Christian to accepting by faith what was accomplished for us in the remote past. However, In that we prove only to minimize what the resurrected Jesus, the living Christ, wants to do to us and with us now, in these days, and in the days to come, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. See, salvation is much more than what God did for us in Christ's death on the cross. It is also the work that the Holy Spirit does in us and through us day by day and moment by moment. Yes, no question, we were saved when we trusted in what Jesus achieved for us at the cross. And we are being saved daily through the ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we will be saved when we are perfected in the presence of God on that final day. Friends, I've stated this frequently. Please know that we are not simply saved from something. More importantly, we are being saved for something. God in Christ saves us from our past in order that we might live life fully into the future. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul states, "Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." The reconciling and redeeming love of God in Christ is foundational to our identity as the body of Christ in the world today. In our conversations in the last couple of weeks, in our talking about our mission trajectory, we heard counsel from David Fitch, who stated in his book, Faithful Presence, that one of the disciplines that shape us for mission is the discipline of reconciliation. And David writes, "Reconciliation is at the core of what God has done and is doing in the world in and through Christ." He continues, "Reconciliation is so central to the good news of what God has done in Christ that to see no reconciliation in our churches suggests there is no gospel in them." Church, we live at a time when many voices are counseling us and many forces are pressuring us. In the midst of these is the voice of God and the movement of the Spirit. So how are we to discern then between those forces that divide us and threaten to destroy us and the Holy Spirit, whose work it is to transform, to unite, to strengthen and enliven us? I was recently inspired by a prophetic message in the latest Netflix movie, Fisherman's Friend, One and All. It's the second movie about these fellas. These seemingly one-of-a-kind salty dogs sang a song at the end of the movie in the setting of another festival, the Glastonbury Music Festival. And there they proclaimed in a song entitled "Union of Different Kinds" that they were card-carrying, lifelong members of the Union of Different Kinds. And something about that song had the smell of Pentecost in it. It was like the wind of Pentecost wafted that message through their song. Know that there are two things that draw people together: a common danger or a common devotion. Whereas danger drives people together, devotion, on the other hand, draws them together. And these are the dynamics we would do well to pay attention to as we do the work of discerning the Spirit and as we respond to issues challenging the church today. We must ask ourselves, are we being motivated by fear of the culture, Or are we motivated by a devotion, our commitment to the Lordship of Christ? And this, too, was something we were able to affirm in our sharing at our discernment circles. Our identity is rooted in the Lordship of Jesus. And what are the fruits of our words and actions? Who or what is moving or stirring or persuading us? Well, as we answer these questions, we can test the Spirit, remembering that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fearlessness, gentleness, and self-control. These are what we expect to see and hear. These are what we expect to experience when the Spirit of God is leading and transporting us as to some other influence or force. Note too that I'm not suggesting that our engagement with each other and the world we serve will be without conflict. It's inevitable. A world and culture bereft of the fruits we have just listed will no doubt be disturbed and shaken by God's transforming power. We have a much better chance of harnessing climate change than we would or even could harness the power of God's Spirit. And today, as in the day when the church was born, the movement of the Holy Spirit and the animation of the church, it upsets the status quo. It disrupts the old order of things and ushers in a new openness. The Spirit is the new wine in old wineskins, and the new cloth on the old garment. The wineskins still burst, and the old garments still tear. So those who want everything to remain as it was ought not to get involved with the things of the Spirit, because the ministry of the Spirit makes all things new. Like the mighty wind and purifying fire that gave birth to the church, God's Spirit continues to unite us, to strengthen us and enliven us to be transformed and to be agents of transformation for God's glory, for God's sake, and for the sake of the world God loves. So, when God's Spirit wins its way among us, we learn afresh that there's nothing exclusive or discriminating about the wondrous things of God, because the Holy Spirit blows where He wills, bringing together and uniting the most dissimilar souls to share in the extravagant love of God. And we learn too that when we stick to the basics, everyone understands, despite our background, our race, our nationality, all will resonate with the experiences of love and loyalty and need and failure and sin and salvation and hope and freedom. See, God's desire is that the good news of the gospel, which responds to every human need, be clear and understandable, not confused or complicated. And how tragic it is then when Christians waste precious time attending to lesser things. Things important, but secondary. You know, like liturgies, ceremonies, rituals, the way we build and manage our church homes and our ecclesiastical structures. Could it be that we are fearful? I can't speak their language. I'm scared. you know, I don't have what it takes. And to all of these, I say, amen. For just as the witness of the first followers of Christ was dependent upon a special moving of God's Spirit to make the message clear to others, and just as these first disciples were dependent upon the Spirit to drive the fear and doubt away, and just as they depended upon the equipping presence of God to enliven them, so we too today are and always will be dependent upon the most special gift of God's presence to unite, strengthen, empower, and transform us to be all that God intends for us to be. I'm amazed by what can happen when earth, wind, and fire combine in a new way, in an elemental fusion. The physical world is transformed and recreated, but I've been even more amazed by the transformations and new life that I see when open hearts and God's Spirit and a needy world combine. Yes, these are disturbances that will most certainly blow you away, and yes, set you on fire in a good way.